Morning, church. Please turn to Matthew chapter number 9.
Habalebo Matthew chapter 9.
Matthew chapter 9, we will read from verse 18 to 26.
Habalebo from verse 18 to 26.
We're looking at the woman who bled for 12 years. We can remember we read last time, but we only concentrated at the death and the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. We read from verse 18 to verse 26, although we concentrating on verse 20 to 22 for this morning. While Jesus was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making commotion, he said, "Go away, for the daughter is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went throughout all the district. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Church, we all have issues, we all have needs. Some issues that we have or needs are greater than others. And in most cases, these issues I'm referring to or needs, they are almost private and confidential. But these are the issues that will eat you inside slowly and slowly until you are finished. And the worst part of it is when you don't even know or you don't have a clue how you will deal with them. I remember when Nonto was a little bit younger than she is right now, his nose and throat was always blocked day in and day out. She couldn't breathe. She suffered. So we also suffered spiritually or emotionally, if you will. Because she couldn't sleep. We were troubled by this. And there was nothing that we could do about it. But friends, that was nothing. We all have issues. But some of the issues, I can tell you now, they cannot compare to what we are looking at this morning. The woman before us bled for 12 years. She had issues of discharge for 12 years. So in this story, or from the passage you just read, I want us to see three points of interest, three points which will help us cast our burdens upon Jesus, because Jesus cares. I want to remind you that Jesus cares. There is a hymn that says, Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? As the burden press and cares its distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my way is dark? As the daylight fades into the deep night shade, does Jesus care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I have tried and failed to resist some temptation which are stronger than me? When my tears flow all night long, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my sad heart aches? When my heart aches so much until it's nearly broken, does Jesus care? And the answer is yes, he cares. He cares, and his heart is attached to us. His heart is touched with our grief. Jesus cares. So I want us to look at this woman and see how much Jesus cares. And there are three things, as I mentioned, that will reveal that Jesus cares. But also in these three things, I want you to see that you are also responsible to do something about your situation. The first thing I want us to see is the need for genuine desperation. Verse 20 to 21. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. Friends, it is until you are desperate enough, and that is when you will get to move to somewhere. Until you are desperate enough, we have not yet needed whatever you claim you need. For example, if you are not desperate enough to find a job, you will not find a job. If you are not desperate for food, you will not find food. You may act desperate. You may say you are desperate, but you need to be desperate from within. Something needs to show that this person is really desperate. Remember the desperation we saw in Jairus when the daughter was dead. The man had to move from one area to another, looking for an answer, looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have before us is a similar situation, but this situation is more personal. This situation is a little bit embarrassing, as it were. So what Matthew is doing here, he wants to show again the power in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by so doing, he brings this story in a split technique of bringing a story, saying one story and bring another in the midst of the story. Jesus is rushing to Jairus' daughter. And here comes a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. She had gone to doctors and no one could help her. She has spent her money, all that she had, to fix herself, but in vain. And the more she tried to solve her problem, it became worse. The more she tried to handle this situation by herself, things became worse day by day. Turn to Mark chapter number
5.
There's cross reference there. Let's read how Mark brings this story. So that you see, she couldn't handle this. She could not help herself. And no man could help her. Mark 5:26. We read verse 26. The Bible says, the woman had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. That is what you see. The more she spent money, the more she tried to take care of herself, the situation became worse. But you need to realize that, friends, she spent so much because she was trying to do whatever it takes to solve her situation. It is because she was desperate enough. She was desperate for a cure. And sometimes when you are desperate, you try just anything. You try things that had worked for other people, not knowing that some things can work for others, but they may not work for you. Because, friends, not every problem can be handled in our own strength and power outside God. Regardless how desperate you may be, you cannot solve your own issues. Not all of your issues can be laid upon yourself to resolve. To be desperate is to be in a state of despair. Have you been in a state of despair? When you look for an answer and the answer was nowhere to be found. When you ask for help and there was no help around. This woman was desperate. And desperation is good, friends. But we sometimes need to be careful because desperation may result in wrong behavior. You have heard many people claim to have been desperate and then they drove themselves into sinful activities. It is good to be desperate. But you must be careful of desperation. Desperation must not turn you from the focus which you should have in the Lord, but desperation must turn you to God. This woman kept herself focused. She focused in her problems and she looked for a solution. And at the end of the day, we see that she walked around, she tried everything else, but now
the Bible tells us that a desperation is moving her to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wile a focus on the mashomuleng a hai ebile a etsa gona mashomula hao.
It was until she realized that the solution is not found in her, a solution is not found in any man out there, but the solution can only be found in Jesus Christ. Desperation shall point us to Jesus.
Only desperate, so
only Jesus has answers for all our circumstances. I remember when King David was desperate. You remember he pretended to be insane. He tried to find help from other kings and other people of this world. He needed help from men. For a little while, he forgot that God Himself is our strength and refuge. But that did not work out for very long. Looking for help from someone else did not work out for long. His help only came when he was so desperate, and desperation pushed him to the temple of God. Desperation pushed him back to God. Where does your own desperation push you to? We must be desperate. But our desperation must lead us to God. When David was desperate for food, he ran to God. When his enemies encamped around him, he ran and ran. There was nowhere to hide. Until he decided to run to God. Until he said to himself, as a deer pant for flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. Desperation should lead us to the faithful hands of God. And that is what happened with this woman. So the question is, so now that you have been desperate, now we have come to God. The question is, when you get before God in desperation, what will be the prerequisite for you to get help? Because desperation doesn't mean you will get help. There is something that needs you need to have. Secondly, the need for genuine faith. Verse 20 and 21 again. And behold, the woman who suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, listen, she said to herself, she spoke to her inner being. She spoke to her inside. All her faculties had to understand. She was convinced. This is what she's saying. If I only touch his garment, I will be made well. That is why, friends, you can be desperate, and be desperate indeed, but without God, without faith in God, your desperation will not lead to any help. It is not desperation that will please God. It is not desperation that will draw God near to you. Desperation must lead you to God. But for God to be pleased with your desperation, you must have genuine faith. And obviously here we have seen such faith in the life of in the life of Jairus. We're talking about faith that does not question God for anything that seems impossible with men. The Bible says the woman said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I'll be made well." She made her resolution. And this was necessary. If you want to receive a blessing from God, you must make a resolution, but your resolution must be governed by faith.
How about the resolution?
You need to make up your mind. You need to see Jesus as the only help, as the only source of your help. You need to trust in Him. You need to depend on this Lord Jesus Christ. You need to trust in the mercies of God when you come to Him. You must come to Him in belief, knowing that He and He alone has answers, and is got the power to heal or the power to restore whatever that needs to be restored. Because when you depend on Him, He will not cast you away. And I want you to notice the effect of genuine faith. The Bible tells us that everyone touched Jesus, but there was only one person who had the faith that turned the Lord's mind, or that turned the Lord from His direction to another direction. Everyone touched Jesus.
But the
this was genuine faith. As soon as he touched the garment of Christ, Jesus stopped. Jesus was rushing. It was important to be where he wanted to be. But because of faith, Jesus paused. We see a woman who was drained out financially because of a disease. We see a woman who was drained out, but now we see her faith draining power from Jesus.
Friends,
faith changes things. The Bible says Jesus stopped. And I want to give you four reasons, perhaps, why Jesus stopped. Because of the faith of this woman. Jesus stopped firstly because the woman had to be assured that only faith in the Lord is everything needed for God to help you. Secondly, the people around there had to learn that Jesus had real power and his power was divine. Not only does he have power, but he knows the capability of his power. The third thing here, I think that the disciples also had to learn that when Jesus gives them this power, it will be power that will do wondrous things.
Because
The fourth thing, I think everyone there, including the disciples, whoever was there, had to learn that anyone can touch Jesus, but not every touch on Christ is a touch of faith. Not everyone who clings to Jesus has genuine faith. So we see here that the woman put her faith into action. Because we see, friends, I said she took a resolution, but a resolution cannot bring answers until it is put in action through faith. Faith without action is dead. So this woman ignored the reality around her. She ignored the reality of her shameful situation and she came to Jesus. She resolved to look away from men and the prospect of embarrassment that men may bring upon her. She had to stand up from her dying bed, as it were. She realized that she will no longer have to lock herself in a room because of embarrassment. She cannot lock herself away because she does not have money anymore, and no doctor can help her, and no doctor can give her maybe free health or free attention. She realized that man is helpless. We must realize that man is helpless. We must realize that self-help also is helpless. The Bible says she came to her senses, and she came to Christ because of faith. How does faith come? This woman must have heard of the wonderful works of Jesus. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. She had believed the testimony that she hears about Jesus. We need to believe what we hear about Jesus. Someone told her about Jesus. Or perhaps she overheard people, as some people are overhearing me speaking now. She overheard people speaking about Jesus.
The
Jesus who saves the lost, the Jesus who heals the sick. She came and she touched his garments. And that's the evidence of faith. She put her faith into action. No one told her she needed to touch the garment of Christ. But God opened her mind, God opened her eyes to see that Christ and Christ alone can help her. And I want you to remember, friends, this healing authenticates the ministry of Jesus. This does not mean that now we will go around and try to touch men of God's garments. Someone can lie to you, but it's not going to happen. This also doesn't mean that Jesus does not heal today. But it doesn't heal in this way. But one thing remains. The principle has not changed. Faith in Him makes wondrous things. So here's what I want to leave with you in this point. You need to put your faith to action. How do you put your faith into action? You come to Jesus. Jesus must be impressed by your faith, not the culture around you. Let's read again Mark chapter number 5. Verse 30 and 31. This is what the Bible says. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched my garment?'" Friends, I want you to listen to these words that Jesus is saying. Who touched my garment? Why and how did Jesus know somebody touched the garment? Power had gone out from him. Genuine faith turns the attention of Jesus. Genuine faith drained power from Jesus. Genuine faith impressed Jesus, while genuine faith confused the people. Sometimes your faith will confuse people. Sometimes your faith, when people are looking at it, they will think that you are out of your mind. But the most important thing is to impress God. This woman's faith surprised Jesus. It drained power from Jesus. But it confused the people. That's how strong her faith was. Just like a prayer of faith is distinct from any ordinary prayer. Just like giving by faith is distinct from any form of giving. It impresses Jesus. It caused Jesus to turn his attention to you. This woman trusted in Christ. She had faith in him. Listen, friends. Listen. Jesus did not say to this woman. She didn't say this. She didn't say, "Your touching of my garment has healed you." The healing is not in the touching of the garment. What did Jesus say? Daughter, your faith has healed you. Faith and faith alone. It was not the touching of the garment. There is no magical formula in the touching of the garment. Many had touched this garment, but this woman had faith. In Matthew 9:22, it says Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." It was genuine faith in Christ that changed the situation. It is genuine faith in Christ that we all need. If we desire any change in our circumstances, we need faith to a faith in Christ. What happens when you have faith in Christ? Deadly. Let us see from this passage Christ's unlimited grace towards those of faith. Grace upon those of faith.
Verse 22.
Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. Friends, the Bible says instantly the woman was made well. In Mark 5, the Bible says, and immediately the flow of blood drained up, and she felt her body that she was healed of her disease. We have concluded in previous studies, friends, that Christ has power to heal. And it is emphasized here that Jesus has power to heal. But what I want to emphasize this morning, His power comes with unlimited grace for you. Unlimited grace to those of faith. You need to have faith that your situation may be changed. But it is not faith alone. Grace and grace of God. Faith works together with the grace of God. Because faith outside grace will achieve nothing. In other words, our faith does not dictate God and leave Him stranded, not knowing what to do but to act. No, our faith does not dictate God. Our faith must work with the grace of God. Grace is above faith. Without grace, faith will also be worthless. We need the grace of Christ. In all our situations, we all need the grace of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been healed. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of your work, so that no one may boast. So we have to learn from these friends. Though faith is necessary, yet grace is of utmost importance. Why must we know that grace is important than anything else? So that we do not listen or believe the false teachings out there that you need faith to change your situation, and when you have prayed from God and nothing is happening, it is because we have lack of faith. No, that's not true. You have prayed so much, you had so much faith, your situation has not changed, the fault is not in you, the fault is no one else, but you need something else. You need the grace of God. God must be gracious to you. For your wife to be saved, for your husband to be saved, You need the grace of God for your situation to change, to be healed by Him. You need the grace of God that is above your faith in God.
And
we must remember, grace is given to us not because of our faith, but because God is love. God is compassionate because Jesus cares. That is why I started by asking, does Jesus care? He cares. He poured grace upon this woman. Why grace? So that no one may boast about faith. So that no one here may say, I have great faith, so I accomplish things. No, so that we may say, I have a great God who's gracious enough to lift me up, and now I am free.
Look
at this grace. Mark 5 verse 34. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases. Here is something that you need to learn, church. Jesus is not upset that this woman has touched him and power was drained from him. Listen to his words. Go in peace. After the blood has been dried up, go in peace. This woman is blessed to go and experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But not only that. Jesus is not only saying, go in peace. He says also, be healed of your diseases. Not only should the blood stop flowing, but the cause and the effect of the disease must come to an end. These woman friends received grace upon grace. Because church, it is one thing to be healed, and it is another thing to be healed completely. This is complete healing. Jesus poured grace upon this woman, and he poured his grace in full measures. Because church, faith will not bring you peace. Faith will not give you strength to move on. Peace flows from the grace of God. Strength flows from the grace of God. God was gracious enough and left this woman with full assurance. Faith does not give full assurance, but grace in knowing that Jesus cares gives full assurance. This is grace, friends. Jesus is not angry that an outcast touched him. Jesus is not angry that an unclean woman touched him. But Jesus has grace upon the outcast, he has grace upon the unclean, like you and I.
Just
Look careful. Jesus did not call her woman, which was right and appropriate, but Jesus said, daughter. What does that mean? Compassion.
Care.
Love. Just imagine, friends. Imagine in your fear and shame, in your misery and despair, when no one calls you son or daughter, where no one will love you and help you, where no one feels your pain, where no one cares enough. Here comes Jesus. He calls you son. Jesus calls you daughter. Where no one loves you. Where no one is willing to go an extra mile for you. When you feel rejected and have no peace. Jesus come and say, go in peace, be healed of all your suffering. He restored to God. Be restored to the community. Be restored to your family. Your faith has healed you. And my grace is poured upon you. Can you imagine the joy that should fill your heart knowing that Christ is gracious to you? So how will you know that you have received grace from God in Christ Jesus? If you have been set free. Have you been set free? Do you have peace? Are you completely healed? I may not be referring to physical healing here, but friends, do you feel being set free from the things of this world? Are you free from the things that troubles you secretly in your heart, the things that drives you to despair, the things that drive you to desperation? Remember, His grace is unlimited unto those of faith. They alone will go in peace and experience total healing. That is what we see here. So let me close like this. Let your desperation drive you to Christ. Sometimes the world can offer you help. But it is always temporal. And sometimes the world will not be available for you. Let your desperation drive you to Christ. Be desperate enough to cross rivers, to climb mountains, to reach to Christ. But let your desperation be guided by faith. This woman lived with constant weakness in her life. Maybe it is so with you this morning. Remember, no man can help you. But Jesus. Your faith must be genuine. It must separate you from the crowd in the eyes of the Lord. How is that possible? How is it possible? that you may be separated from the crowd. Never take your eyes away from Jesus. When you hear of his great love and power, fix your eyes unto him. Look away from the crowd, and sometimes you need to look away from the disciples and look unto Jesus. When you are desperate, let nothing distract you along the way as you come to Christ in faith. Remember, Jairus approached Jesus openly. That is okay and that is advisable. But this woman approached Jesus secretly. That is powerful. We need to have a secret place for you and God. Have faith, my friends. Regardless the reality of 12 years of pain and failure, as it were, have faith in Christ. His grace is greater than our trouble. His grace is greater than our circumstances. His grace is greater than our sin. His grace exceeds our guilt. We may remember his grace upon Calvary's mountain, where the sinless Lamb of God was slain for you and I, where his blood was spilled and grace was poured upon us, that we may be pardoned our sins and be cleansed from within. So those sin and despair will threaten our soul. But grace will point us to our refuge and our strength, God himself. Therefore we pray the Lord that he may have grace upon us, that we may go in peace, that we may be healed completely of all our troubles and circumstances, that when our faith is weak, he may strengthen us through his grace. Just as he called the woman afterward and says, "Who touched me, daughter? Go in peace." May we also go in peace. Jesus cares. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful words that you are hearing, that indeed you are a God who cares for us, and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, cares for us, that in whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can trust in you, even when our faith is weak, even when our faith is shaking, but we can trust on your grace to see us through. So may you use this word, O Lord, to encourage each and every one of your children who is discouraged, O Lord, to know that you are indeed a God who cares for us, that indeed you are a God who will see us through. So we give you thanks and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.